All right, we are recording, and for starters, can I have your name and your title?
Sure, it's Judd Knieven, and I'm the Chief of Emergency Management here for the Kansas City District Corps of Engineers.
Now, Judd, you were part of the Corps of Engineers back in 1993 when the flooding hit. Will you just tell me a little bit about some of your experiences and the part you played in that?
I was. You know, it was early in my career. I'd only been with the Corps of Engineers for a year, and so I was actually kind of excited when I heard we were going to maybe get to fight a flood. I quickly realized there was more to it than that, though, and I spent probably the first month of the flood fight at the downtown airport here in Kansas City, Missouri. We were running an emergency pumping operation, and I got to see flooding firsthand, and I got to see the concerns locally and partial evacuations and that type of thing, and you really then do understand that it affects people's lives.
Could you explain to me some of the actions the Corps tried to take during the flood?
When all floods start out, you don't realize it's possibly going to be the record flood. So we go through a process, you know, where we ramp up our efforts. And so we had teams on levees that were helping levee sponsors patrol and inspect. The other thing that was unique to 93 that we haven't seen since was that a lot of our lake projects were also affected by the flooding because it was all localized heavy rainfall. So we were having to take emergency actions at some of our reservoirs, and that required a lot of personnel. And so the district had to ramp up their emergency operations. We had to bring in people from the outside to assist us, not only during the flood event, but also following when we started talking about recovery.
Will you talk to me about some of the actions taken with the levees? For example, were some levees perhaps breached in certain areas in order to save municipalities along other parts of the river?
We talk about it as deliberate levee cuts. And most of the time, there weren't too many of those made. There were deliberate levee cuts that were made by folks who intentionally did them, and they didn't do it to help prevent damages. They did it to harm personnel. And the most notable was over there near Alton, Illinois, West Alton, Missouri, or in Alton, Illinois. There was a high-profile case down there of someone that breached the levee. I think they actually were convicted and ended up doing some time. But there were a lot of overtopping levee breaches, and there were a lot of accusations made as to whether those were intentionally made or whether it was just the result of too much water and not enough levee. One of the notables on the lower Missouri River was up at St. Joe. There, across from St. Joe at the R-471-460 levee system, it was overtopped and breached, and there are still many people that claim to this day that that was done intentionally, though there was no evidence to ever support that.
Will you talk to me now about what it is both you and the Corps as a whole took away from the experience in 1993 and how that's changed the operation of things now?
I spent almost 2 years following the 93 event, along with a lot of folks from the Kansas City District, repairing levees from up near the Iowa, Missouri state line all the way to St. Louis. It was significant in the sense that almost every levee system that participated in the Corps' rehabilitation and inspection program received some type of damage. It was the first time that we had federal levee systems overtop along the lower Missouri River since they were constructed in the 1950s. So it was a major catastrophic event. It's been the only time in my career, and I hope that it is the only time in my career, that I've ever seen the lower Missouri River Basin full of water from bluff to bluff. We've had some fairly significant floods since, but none quite meeting the amount of water that we saw in 1993. And so what have we done since? For me, I tell people it made my career. It made me want to work in emergency management. I liked working with the stakeholders and our partners in the basin and assisting them with maintaining their levees and repairing their levees. And so I was able to achieve that, and that's kind of why I occupy the position that I have today with the Corps. When you look at the outlook for the Corps, you know, we continue to do a lot of the same things, the same way that we did them in 1993. We prepare for flooding on an annual basis. We start that process in early January of every year, and we continue to work that through our flood season, which right now we're still in what we consider flood season on the Missouri River. If we get through mid-July, we'll kind of be out of that season. But it can happen any time, and that's the thing we try to reinforce, is that flooding most often in the lower basin, anything below Gavin's Point in South Dakota, is usually caused by locally heavy rainfall. And that can happen at any time. But things that we have changed is that we've changed the way we communicate with the public. We're starting to identify that there's always a risk associated with living and working behind levee systems. We try to reinforce the message that levee systems don't provide complete protection, that there's always a residual risk. And just because you saw the 1993 flood event and what it can do to you, it can always be worse. So that's one of the messages that we try to communicate to the public. It reflects a change in the way we've moved forward. We used to refer to things as flood control works. I think everybody's come to the realization that we don't control Mother Nature, but we can reduce the risk associated with some of what Mother Nature throws at us. We've created some other programs that work with the states and the locals in particular to find solutions to their water resource needs. They're not always hard solutions. We always used to look at a hard solution like building a levee or building a dam. We realize that if we're going to continue to make improvements and to reduce risk, that it's going to take some soft alternatives, also some non-structural alternatives. And so we've entered into a dialogue with the states and the communities regarding the use of both structural and non-structural alternatives. So that's a different approach for us, too.